It's good to have Craig Comstock, missionary to New Zealand, with us today and his wonderful family. And we appreciate the ones in our church that have gone out into missions and Christian work. And it's neat. His wife is one of our girls and a daughter of the Mansfields here. It's exciting to have those. Also exciting to have the Hostetlers here and a daughter or son of the Hostetlers and Sarah, the daughter of the Kupferschmidt. And that's kind of cool. And Nate here, son of one of our former or older missionaries. That's exciting.
Amen. It's a blessing to be able to be here and to be able to be in this church, to be able to be in this pulpit, to see all of you. This church is very special to us. It's a church of beginnings. It's a church of firsts. As I think back, this is where I was first married, only married once, but first married here. And place we first started deputation to raise support for New Zealand. Our very first meeting was here. I remember putting our original display in the back. And then you were also our first supporting church. I don't know if you realize that or not. You actually took us on for support even before our sending church took us on for support. We really appreciate that. And so this church has always been very, very close to us. The theme of this conference, as you know, is about laboring together. Laboring together in the ministry. You might ask yourself, well, how do we minister? How do we labor together when, say, our missionaries are on opposite sides of the world? What is that relationship like? Now, the relationship between a missionary and its supporting church is a precious one, because we are to be laboring together in the gospel, even though we're on the other side of the world. And that partnership that God has created is a biblical thing. It is a precious thing to Him. And in Scripture, there's actually not a lot of passages of Scripture that expound very deeply on the relationship between missionaries, say like our family, who serve on the other side of the world, and your church, a supporting church, who is on this side of the world, and what that relationship should look like. And you can go through Acts, and you see Paul's interaction with his sending church. But that was a sending church. What about a supporting church? Here in the book of Philippians, we see Paul's interaction with a church that was very close to him, a church he actually started, a church that he planted and had a long and meaningful relationship with. And as we read this passage of Scripture, we start to realize that this church was not just a close church to him, it was a supporting church. And in fact, he actually wrote this book to these believers in order to, first of all, to thank them. And he was thanking them for basically a support gift that had been sent to him. And so while this book is precious and contains such vital and practical doctrine, and we love to come here for so many different reasons, and there are precious verses here, there is great amount of information here that helps us understand this beautiful relationship between a supporting church and its missionaries, wherever they be serving around the world. And as we look at this relationship, we're going to look at basically three different responsibilities and three different blessings that take place when a missionary and a church are working or laboring together in the gospel. But in order for there to be blessings, we need to first look at those responsibilities. Of course, we already read the passage, first of all, but a little bit of background on this passage of Scripture is that this church was in Macedonia. And Paul, of course, had relationship with this church for a long time. But another interesting side note is actually we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you don't need to turn there, but basically Paul writes to the church at Corinth and encourages that church about basically a missions giving project. And he uses the churches of Macedonia as an example. And he says that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Essentially what he was saying is they gave out of their poverty. So that tells us two different things. One, they were a generous church. Two, they gave out of their poverty. They were a poor church. They didn't have a lot. So that background is actually extremely helpful to understand. So let's look at some of these verses. First of all, the first responsibility is that in order for this to take place, this kind of relationship to endure and for these blessings to abound, there needs to be a partnership. partnership or a relationship. I want to look at a few words here. In verse 10, it says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care," that word care of me, "have flourished again, wherein ye were also careful," or literally full of care, "but ye lacked opportunity." In order to have this kind of relationship with your missionary, you need to care for them. You need to love them. You need to take care of them, and you do, and I appreciate that. There needs to be a close relationship that takes place between you and your missionaries. You know, it is very easy when your missionaries are serving away from you, as they most of the time are, and they're dotted all over the globe, to forget about them. There is a vital ministry that is going on your behalf all the time. And you need to look for ways to care and to take care of those missionaries. Notice some other words here. He talks about his ability to be able to live in any kind of situation. And he says in verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And then in verse 14, he says, "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. This word communicate is actually really interesting. It's the idea of a partnership. You know, when a church says, "Oh, we've partnered with this missionary," a lot of times we can think, "Oh, that's a nice term," but it's a biblical term. The word communicate has the idea of, one person said, it means to make oneself a fellow partaker in common with, or basically a partner. It's the idea of going through something with someone. So as we've been serving in New Zealand, it is as if you are serving alongside us, going through the ups and the downs that we've had there. And we've had those. We've had hard times. We've had blessings. We've had trials. We've had triumphs. And by you partnering with us, it's as if you have gone through the exact same things with us. Notice here in verse 14, he said, you did communicate with my affliction. The idea is the Apostle Paul is suffering at this period of time. He's in prison. He's going through a hard time in ministry. He's been proclaiming the gospel, and for various reasons, and he's now been thrown into prison, and he's writing these prison epistles, and he's writing now this epistle and this essentially a thank you note to this church, and he's saying that even though you live apart from me, I am going through this trial. Your care of me, your support of me, puts you into a position where you are going through this with me. You know, it is vital for you to make sure that you are partnering with your missionaries, not just in finances or giving, but in any practical way you can. Writing letters, praying for them, supporting them, encouraging them, sending them ornaments. It is encouraging to us. They are an extension of your church. We'll look at that a little bit later on. You need to partner and communicate and love and care for your missionaries. That is one responsibility. Another responsibility is that you pray for your missionaries. Turn over to chapter 1 briefly. We're going to look at this passage of scripture in chapter 1. Notice what the Apostle Paul says about prayer. This prayer, praying for missionaries and the prayer between each other, is actually a two-way street. It's a relationship that goes both directions. Notice what he says right at the beginning. In verse 2, he says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." Wow. So the first thing the Apostle Paul says is, first of all, church, I want you to know I'm praying for you. In fact, every time I think of you, I take time to pray for you and to thank the Lord for you. He says, "Always in every prayer of mine for you, while making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." And he continues to go on about this relationship. The end of verse 7, he says, "You're all partakers of my grace." Again, talking about that relationship. He says, you know what? I take time every time I think of you to pray for you. You know, we really appreciate your communication with us. Every week, we receive your prayer lists, and we are able to look through those, and we're able to pray for your church. That is vital. Very few churches communicate with us on that kind of level. Only a handful, really. We have 60 supporting churches. I would say probably 5 communicate with us in any sort of way on a regular basis so we can know what's going on in their ministry. That is vital, and I really appreciate that. So this prayer is a two-way street. Paul also expected that this church pray for him, and he knew that they were. You need to be praying for your missionaries. And a little bit later on in the chapter, he says in verse 19, "For I know that this," and what he's referring to is the trial that he's going through, the difficult time he's in prison, he doesn't know what's going to happen, "that this shall turn to my salvation." Why? "Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." And a couple of verses later, he says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." What he's basically saying is I know, he's saying, I will get through this hard time or this difficulty or this trial one way or another. It may be by life where I'm let go. It may be by death where I become a martyr. But I know I will endure to the end and get through this. Two different reasons. One, the Spirit of Christ. Two, I know you are praying for me. Paul was confident. Paul wasn't sitting in prison checking Facebook that day and going, yep, I know they prayed for me. They said so here. He wasn't checking email. He didn't have that kind of communication. He could sit in prison, and because of his relationship with this church, he knew at the bottom of his heart that this church was a praying church and that they were praying for him. Do you pray for your missionaries? You know, I'm not just asking you, does your church do this? Is it in the bulletin? Do you, on a personal level, take time to pray through the needs of your missionaries? It is vital. Your missionaries have great needs. I was listening to our brother this morning, Brother Streeter, sharing some of the struggles and difficulties that he's gone through and the people that he's had a chance to minister to. And that reminded Leah and I so quickly of various people we've talked to in New Zealand, very similar situations. There is burdens. We went through some very hard times during our first 2 years in the mission field. We wept tears going through difficult times in our church in Rotorua and then going over to into New Plymouth. And when we arrived in New Plymouth, the church we had been working with for a year and a half here, handing us a letter, our very first service after we moved there, 2 days later, handing us a letter basically saying, we don't want you here anymore. We want to go with the church a different direction. That was hard, very difficult, very trying times, discouraging. Missionaries often have a hard time being able to share that in their prayer letters. A lot of times prayer requests are a little bit like an iceberg where you can share just a little bit, but there's a whole lot under the surface that you can't see, that you can't share. And so when a missionary takes the time to say, please pray for this, know that there is a lot more there that hasn't been said. We desperately need your prayer. Paul was able to sit in prison and say, I know and am confident that this church is praying for me. So we thank you for your prayers, and we encourage you that to pray for us and pray for your missionaries. This is a vital part of your relationship with your missionaries, of laboring together with those that you have supported to go overseas. It is one of those responsibilities. And then a third responsibility we see back in chapter 4. Turn with me back to chapter 4 in your Bibles if you turn to chapter 1. But here in chapter 4, he says, basically, in verse 15, he says, no, in the middle, he says, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. You know, I'm not going to take a lot of time to emphasize it, but one of the vital aspects of this relationship is your desire or willingness to give. That your sacrifice, your generosity. This church, again, was a poor church. They didn't have a lot, and yet they were generous. So we appreciate and we praise the Lord for your generosity. And we ask you to be involved in missions in your church. Now let's look at those blessings. As you support missions, God says, you know what? There's some responsibilities, but with that, there are some blessings, and we're going to look at those. He says in verse 17, not because I desire a gift. Now, why would he say that? Well, he wanted this church to understand he was not being covetous. He was not in any way wanting or desiring just the things that they sent. He had just gotten done telling them how content he was in Christ. So what did he desire? He says, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Wow. You see, the Apostle Paul realized that as he saw fruit in his ministry, that would be fruit that would abound to the account of his supporting churches. This is a major part of your ministry. Your ministry as a church is not limited to Elkhart, Indiana. It spans the globe literally. You should be excited about that. You should praise God about that. Your ministry is not limited to here. As you partner with missions, your ministry spans the globe. There is a ministry now of Lighthouse Independent Baptist Church ministering in New Plymouth, New Zealand. That ministry, that church, did not exist 4 years ago. It didn't exist 3 years ago. The church is not even quite that old. It didn't exist there. There was no church there. A few other pastors or missionaries along the way had tried to start churches there, and they hadn't succeeded, but now there is. And we praise the Lord for that. There is a ministry there, and the fruit there, the people that have come to Christ, the people now that are attending, that is fruit that abounds your account. That word abound there is an accounting term, it's the idea of interest bearing or interest that abounds your account. You know, there's people that have been saved and come to Christ. I could tell you about various individuals that are serving the Lord, that are doing right. You're going to meet a young lady probably in a few weeks or about a month from our church named Caitlin. She'll be 17 when she arrives. She'll turn 18 while she's in the States traveling with us on furlough. We'll be here over Christmas for about 3 weeks, and you'll have the opportunity to meet her. She is fruit that abounds to your account. She is a young lady that trusted Christ at teen camp while we were ministering there. She's planning to join our Bible Institute in February. You can praise the Lord for that. That is fruit, literally, that abounds your account. You should praise the Lord for that. God wants us to produce fruit. Jesus said that we should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain in John 15:16. That is His desire. So as we see, or as we support missions, as you partner with missionaries and labor together, you are producing fruit that abounds your account. Secondly, we want to look here at the next blessing. In verse 18, he says, but I have all and abound, I am full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. I want to elaborate a little bit on this verse. What he's saying here essentially is, I've received the gift and it has been amazing. It was sacrificial. It praised and glorified God's, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But he says, I am full, in the King James in verse 18. And that idea of I am full is the idea of being filled up, or basically being totally topped up and having overflowing amounts to be able to get a job done. That's the essential idea of that word. Years ago, my dad had a business. In that business, we would do bank statements for credit unions. We had, at one point, about 20 different employees. And with doing bank statements, we had to get those statements out at the beginning of the month. So our first week was crazy. We would do about 100,000 pieces of mail during that 1 week. And in order to be able to get ready for that job or that week, we had to be full or well supplied. And so for about a week or two before that, we would receive daily shipments, pallets and pallets and pallets full of paper, of envelopes, of the little insert junk mail things that would come in those that you probably throw away. All those types of things we would get. and we would just be full up. And by the time that we were ready to start that week, we would go out in the warehouse and we're going, where we put things? And we're putting things on the floor because our shelves were all full. We were filled up. We had everything we need. We were stockpiled. And that's essentially what the Apostle Paul is saying here. I am full. I'm well supplied. I have everything I need. But I have it all in abound. I am full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And then he turns around and makes an amazing statement. He says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, verse 19 is a verse we know well. We memorized it. We loved that verse. We've applied it to our life. Now, there are several passages in Scripture that talk about God meeting or caring for us or taking care of our needs. But the context of this verse is directly related to basically a missionary offering or gift that this church sent to the Apostle Paul. And what Paul is saying to this church is essentially, just as you filled me up, stocked me up, met all my needs, and allowed me to be able to carry on with this ministry, even in prison, my God will do the same to you. The words are related. They're essentially the same word. Where in verse 19 it says, shall supply, it's the exact same word, just different tense when he says in verse 18, I am full. It's the same thing. Just as God has filled, used you to fill me up, my God will do the same to you. As we are involved in laboring together, as we are involved in partnering with missions, God says, you know what? As you are sacrificially giving to this work that is so close to my heart around the world, I will meet your needs. Now, a few caveats with that. First of all, needs are different than wants. They're not the same. Secondly, many of our needs are spiritual, not just physical. Okay? So we need to remember those different things. Also, we shouldn't give in order to get. But know as we give, God will take care of us. That is one of the great blessings. So what blessings do we see here? Well, first of all, know that as you give to missions and support missions and partner with missions around the world, first of all, there is fruit that abounds to your account. Secondly, God will take care of your needs. Thirdly, it's found in verse 20. It says, now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. That is our desire, to see God glorified. The Bible says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do, including supporting missions. And as we are involved in this ministry of seeing souls saved around the world, that is something that glorifies God, that praises Him. That should excite us. Even as we see in verse 18, when he says that this gift, it was an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. He was saying your sacrificial giving praises Him. It pleases Him. Just like the Old Testament sacrifices were an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice that was hopefully well-pleasing to God, he says your giving has done the same. Your partnership, your laboring together with your missionaries that are dotted all over the globe, it is an essential and important part of your ministry. You have been given several responsibilities. With any relationship, there needs to be responsibilities, and then there comes blessings. You have three responsibilities found here in this passage, and there's many more as well, to care and partner with those missionaries. One. Two, to be involved with being in a prayer ministry with the needs of those missionaries around the world and them with you. That is a two-way relationship. Three, to be involved with sacrificially giving. And when you're involved in that as a church, as you are doing and you can continue to do, three things result. One, God will meet, or you'll have fruit that abounds to your account, verse 17. Verse 18 and 19, God will supply your needs. And then verse 20, and most importantly, God will be glorified. Let's pray. Dear Lord in heaven, thank you so much for this passage of Scripture. Lord, I pray that this church would continue to partner with missions around the world, looking for ways to be able to see their relationships with these missionaries they support strengthened, to see the fruit that abounds to their account, to see their needs met, to see, most of all, your name glorified. Lord, that's what we desire most of all. Lord, your Son, Jesus Christ, came and died on the cross for the sins of the world. And Lord, that gospel now we've had the opportunity to be able to take to New Zealand and other missionaries around the world. This church is taking to Elkhart. And Lord, I pray that as we do so and labor together, your name would be glorified. Thank you so much for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.